gospel this morning is Luke 16, 19 to 31. And it begins, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died, and he was buried in Hades, where he was being tormented. He looked up and saw Abraham far away from with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone has risen from the dead.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Lord, help us to open our ears and our hearts that we may hear your word today and use it as an instrument in our lives to serve. Amen. In the passage from Luke, Jesus told the story about the rich man who wore the finest clothes and lived in luxury, and Lazarus lay outside the rich man's gate. Lazarus was hungry, and his body was covered with sores. It's important to know that in that time in history, people did not use knives or forks or napkins. They would eat with their hands, wiping them on crusts of bread, which were thrown out afterwards. This was what the poor man Lazarus was waiting for: Christ's crusts of bread that had been thrown out after the feast. The only help that our Lord indicates came to this man was from the dogs who licked his sores. That was the only comfort he had in the midst of an unhappy life. He was ignored totally by the rich man, who drove daily out the gate, but who never saw him lying there. Every day, the rich man would pass by Lazarus without even giving him a thought. I imagine he passed by Lazarus so many times that eventually he got to the point he didn't see him at all. And then Luke tells us Lazarus died and went to heaven. The rich man also died and went to hell. And in hell, he looked up and saw Lazarus in heaven with Abraham. He asked Abraham to let Lazarus dip his finger in water and come and touch it to his burning tongue. But Abraham said no. Then he reminded the rich man how he had enjoyed such good things on earth, while Lazarus had nothing. The rich man then asked Abraham to allow Lazarus to go back to earth and warn his five brothers, so they would not end up back where he was. But again, Abraham said no. The rich man finally woke up to the wrong he had been doing, but it was too late. Now, Lazarus and the rich man were divided in many ways. What were the things that made them different? Well, Jesus is telling in this story to show that it doesn't matter what kind of differences are between us. Other people, other things and ways of life. We are free to reach out and help anyone, no matter if they are a different person, or have a different religion, or have different ways of living. Imagine that Jesus is like a bridge, because he came to show that God has love for all people. Jesus bridges all of those things that divides us and connects us together. We are all one through Christ. So as if we came over that bridge from two different groups, Jesus brings all people together, no matter their differences. Most of you know I work with a lot of young ladies, and there are young ladies who have many privileges in life these days, and sadly you see behavior that is not the same as the young ladies who might have to struggle and work for what they have. In this day and age, we often talk about people who feel entitled and people who have to struggle and work hard for what they have. A lot can be said for having less material things and resources. Struggle and bills are worth sometimes the struggle and build character and appreciation. In the scripture lesson today, it is a sad ending for the rich man, but a happy ending for the poor man. Some people think the scriptures say that money is the root of all evil. But it doesn't really say that. It says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's hard to love God if riches are very, very important to us, because the money and the things we can buy take up so much of our love. It's more important to serve God with our talents and riches. So how could we be rich and serve God in the same time? We can serve God by using our money for doing good in the world, and we can share food with others. Now, Reverend Ralph Miller was a great influence in my young Christian life. I'm sure Pastor Randy knows him. I remember him telling a story about a man from our church who was in the hospital having exploratory surgery. When they did the surgery, they found his entire throat area was full of cancer. Nothing could be done. Reverend Miller told how he was sitting there with the man's wife when the doctor came out to tell her that there was nothing which could be done for her husband. The doctor, who was rather brusquely acting, didn't really have time for her. There she sat, sobbing, hanging on every word he said. And he turned brusquely to say, "I'm sorry, there's nothing more I can do." And she said, but, crying for any word of hope. While she was stammering for just a thread of hope, the doctor turned on his heel and walked out of the room. Of course, the wife's heart was bleeding as she reached first to the doctor and then to Reverend Miller. Reverend Miller explained that the only thing he could say to her was that somehow the only hope we ever have in moments when we're terribly in need is to know that there is a God, and that God knows every heartache and he cares about us. God reaches out to say, "I love you." It does not have to be money that we share. We can share the riches of faith to make a difference in someone's life. Okay, blue, blue, green, green. You see, I did listen to that sermon 2 weeks ago because of John Cole. He now has it on tape, and so I heard Reverend Christian's sermon. And it was about blue, blue, green, green. And so much of the message was about how to interpret the word. Could the uncaring doctor be an example of that rich man who walked by Lazarus day after day, and the devastated wife receiving the kind words of comfort and the lesson that she and her husband would never be alone, be Lazarus waiting in that waiting room for words of hope? God will see them through. I believe the passage from Luke is telling us to not but walk by when we can help. Help with money, help with service, and help with words of encouragement and faith, and hope, offer hope for someone in despair. Now, I have another story about a man named Howard Nelson, and he was from Medford, Oregon. And he says in his interview to the local paper, "My house burnt down, and I was about 5 years old, 25 years ago. We lived in the Oregon wilderness. We were already very poor, and I didn't know if we had fire insurance. Essentially, my family had nothing but a van, the clothes we were wearing, and about $80 or so in the bank. We drove down to Portland to stay at a church for a couple of days while we figured out what to do. We went to a grocery store one day to get some food. My parents were in the checkout line with 4 loaves of bread and 2 cans of peanut butter. And the checker saw me and my siblings looking at with hungry eyes at all the food and candy around us. Somehow they got talking about our situation, and the checker lady called her boss down. He got on the loudspeaker and he said, "We're doing an impromptu fundraiser. Please help us out." Random shoppers raised $1,200 in an hour or so. The manager also gave $200 worth of groceries for free. My parents were blown away. It got us into a 2-bedroom apartment, and without that help, who knows where we would have been. I honestly think us kids would have gone into foster care. And my dad, who despite this recent turn of luck, dealt with years of depression and might have harmed himself. This act of kindness shown to us has permanently implanted a desire in me to help those who need it. This message of helping folks in need is heard over and over again around us. And when we hear these kinds of stories, we are touched and reminded how we should help those in need too. These kinds of stories are God's message to us in everyday life. Maybe different words, maybe different times, but the same message is in the scripture from Luke, written a long time ago. As we hear the message from Luke, we need to add a little blue, blue, green, green, and share our wealth in other ways of service and words of God's love. Another story, I have a friend who has a large home and lives alone except for a very special dog. She has very loving adult children, but they are busy with their lives. Most of us know it takes a while to realize that parents who have taken care of us for what seems like forever needs help later in life. This lady has a very special son-in-law named Jimmy. Now Jimmy is always thinking how he can help, especially his mother-in-law. He has a job that takes him out of state, sometimes 3 weeks at a time. But while he is traveling, I am convinced he must think all the time, how can I help, how can I help, how can I help someone? He's amazing. He found a very affordable chairlift and installed it for her. And she had a broken dishwasher, and on Mother's Day, he simply showed up with a new dishwasher on a dolly and wheeled the new dishwasher into the kitchen, proceeded to remove the old one and install the new one in a matter of 2 hours. He has totally redone her bathroom and installed a walk-in shower. In the last 2 weeks, he and his wife, mother-in-law's daughter, have removed old flooring and laid new flooring in the dining room and living room area at his mother-in-law's home, being sure to plan that all the doorways are as flat as possible at the threshold to make it easy for her walker. Now, Jimmy does construction, his gift from God in life, but it is what he is doing with it that is important. He's doing it to serve God with his talents and riches. Could the mother-in-law be Lazarus and Jimmy be the man who gives talents in the name of Christ? The most important lesson in this parable we hear this morning is a warning about money. Wealth calcified the rich man's heart. Though wealth doesn't always have this effect, who can't deny that it often does? As many have realized, either we will own our money or it will own us. You cannot serve God and money, as Jesus said a few verses before the gospel we heard today. So the true test can never be simple. It's a dollar amount? Not possible. It must be our sensitivity to poverty and to pain that we find around us. a heart unwilling to help others because it might be risky, or they might not deserve it, or it might cost us too much, is a heart unwilling to recognize the desperate help even we ourselves need today. The only answer then is to help others out of a sense of our own desperate need before God. Bank balances aside, none of us is above helping others. We are all beggars, helping beggars. When we see the homeless, we see the helpless, and we see the hurting, we should see ourselves, because that is what we are when we are like and looked at by God. The good news is that God is Lazarus, and God, the God who helps. And because he has so helped us, we are freed and hopefully fueled to help others. Wealth is not bad. After all, Abraham was wealthy. But wealth and talents brings with it certain responsibilities and certain stewardship. We will someday give an accounting of how we handle the wealth and talents God has given to us. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus is clearly an example about money. But let us remember to not walk by that gate when we see someone in need, and not only with our riches, but our riches in talent, talents that we have been given by God. We must always be open to people's needs for financial support, for emotional support, and the services needed in life. Lord, help us to see all the needs of people around us, and help us to see the act of serving in the name of Christ. Amen.